Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is the completed work of Christ? Now, you hear a lot of Protestant ministers, and you know, I watch them occasionally. And one or two of them do quite well. But it's almost like they have a broken record that they preach every time. And some of them use the Bible to a considerable amount, so whatever they use the Bible for, that's good. But the question is, and have you ever thought of this, why do they always have the same message? And why do they say the very simple little thing for you to receive eternal life is this? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe that he died for your sins? Yes. Do you accept him as your Savior? Yes. You have been born again. The work of Christ in you is finished. Now, if that's the case, should we not ask the question, why then the whole Bible? And is that formula really the one that puts you in a relationship with God for eternal life? So what we're going to do is examine some of the scriptures that are used about this simple little formula. Now remember how complicated human life is. Don't you suppose that living forever is far superior? And don't you suppose that just like there are requirements for us to live in the flesh and the world, that there are requirements for us to do in order to receive eternal life? And is it just a matter of simple belief? Or what does belief really mean? And if you simply just believe, and that's the finished work that there is, then why are there so many problems in the Christian church? Why are there so many Christians then that are failing? Is God incapable of saving? Or could it be that there is more to receiving Christ, to having your sins forgiven, to having faith in him, than you have been told? Now, we could reduce the whole Bible down to just a one page of scriptures if we believe what the Protestant world teaches. So let's come to Romans 10, one part of the formula that they have. Now, let's understand this. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is truth. That means all of it. So you can't just take a verse here and a verse there and a verse someplace else and put it all together and say, you're now ready for eternal life. But let's begin in some of the scriptures that they normally begin. Let's come to Romans 10. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith that we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. So if you do that, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that there is God? Do you believe in the righteousness of God? All right. Let's ask another question to see, just what do you mean? A lot of them say, well, all you have to do is believe. There are no works that you do. But boy, you better be here in church on Sunday. Really? Is that not a work? And so part of the thing we will look at is what work, who says? Now let's come to James, the second chapter, and let's see that if you believe, like it says here, that now you're totally saved. There's nothing else you have to do. As a matter of fact, Old Testament has been fulfilled. That's what they say. As a matter of fact, even the teachings of Jesus, those were for the Jews only. So since we're not Jews and he was a minister to the circumcision, therefore we now do not even have to follow what he said. And furthermore, Paul taught that all you have to do is believe. You don't even have to be baptized anymore. And you don't even have to stand up in a congregation while the preacher says these words and embarrass yourself in front of people. Let's pick it up here in the Epistle of James. Now, James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now, do you think he would know what he is talking about? And remember, salvation is the same for Jew and Gentile. So if anyone says, there's a gospel for the Jews, there's a gospel for the Gentiles. And we're Gentiles, so we follow this simple little gospel here. Here is what James says concerning faith. In the same way also, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. Now, how does that square with evangelical and Protestant teaching that faith alone without works? And yet that contradicts what Jesus said, that he's going to judge everyone by their works. How does that square? All right. Let's ask another question here as we get into this. Is just acknowledging that Jesus is the Savior enough for salvation? Is just admitting that you are a sinner enough to have your sins forgiven? If that were the case, then why is there so much trouble with the over 3 billion supposed Christians in the world? Where has that faith gotten them? Now, they have a lot of their own works that they do, but we won't get into that at the present time. Let's see what James wrote concerning works and faith. Faith by itself is dead. But someone is going to say, you have faith and I have works. My answer is, you prove your faith to me through your works, and I will prove my faith to you through my works. In other words, if you do not have the good works of God, your faith is useless. Your profession is meaningless. Let's read on. Do you believe that God is one, or do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? You do well to believe this. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear. Let's ask a question. When Jesus was here and casting out demons, did the demons know who he was? Yes, they did. So knowing who Jesus was, professing his name, obviously is not sufficient. Now notice what James says. But are you willing to understand, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, you're not going to do it by your own works, as we'll see a little later on. But you see, the truth of the matter is this. Faith is the beginning. And growing in faith and works is the perfecting. All right, now let's go to another scripture. Let's look at it here in John, the 5th chapter. Now, here's a section of scripture right from Jesus' mouth. And so a lot of Protestants turn here after they read Romans 10, and they turn here. Verse 24, Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, for he is passed from death to life. Let's look at this here. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word. Now, word, when it's used singularly, means the whole message. So this one verse cannot be used alone to say that if you hear Jesus' name, if you hear and believe what it says in Romans 10, that you are now saved. You are now sealed for eternal life. There's nothing else you have to do. It is set. Let's read on. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word. Question, do you know the whole message of Jesus Christ? Are you familiar with all of his teachings? Are you familiar with the meaning of those teachings? Now, part of his message was, as you've heard me say over and over again at church at home, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So how can they say that the law is done away? Now, there are some difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul that truly are difficult to understand, but they are not impossible to understand. And all of Protestantism completely misinterprets those difficult scriptures because they believe the simple scriptures as a beginning and an ending. So, the first part of this, if you do not hear all of Jesus' message, and have you had it preached from the pulpit? If you do not study all of Jesus' word, how can you believe in him who sent him? Has everlasting life. Now, you have the beginning of everlasting life. Because once you believe, do you become a spirit being as Jesus is? Or are you still in the flesh? Well, you're still in the flesh. But once you believe, what else do you have to do to receive the Spirit of God? Because if you only believe these scriptures that I have read, you have no salvation. None whatsoever. You may have a warm feeling in your heart. You may feel relieved that your sins have been forgiven. But the truth of the matter is, that is the very first step. Now, let me ask you a question. You see a baby learning how to walk, takes its first step. Now, what if the parents ran over and said to the baby, oh, and it can hardly understand any words because, you know, it's learning how to speak at the same time, too, but run over to the little infant and say, oh, wonderful, goody, 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 you walk. There's nothing else you need to do. Just stay in your crib, and that's it. You have learned how to walk. You are now a complete human being. Well, that's what they tell you, and Christianity today. That's why Church at Home and Christian Biblical Church of God are dedicated to restoring original Christianity. Because you need the whole message. You need the whole understanding. You need all of what Christ has said. Then eternal life only comes at the resurrection. Has that occurred? No, indeed. Well, somebody's going to say, well, I'm born again. Well, you download our two articles. What do you mean born of God and what do you mean born again? Because, you see, the truth of the matter is no one has been born again, that is, raised from the dead, except Jesus Christ. No one. There's a simple little test that Jesus gave. He said, that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Are you spirit or are you flesh? Now, if you're spirit, Jesus said, you can't see it. Can people see you? And it goes wherever it wants to, like the wind. Can you do that? How about after Jesus was resurrected? How did he appear to his disciples? Well, they were in the room all closed in together, and Jesus appeared in the midst of them. How did he do that? He simply walked through the wall. Can you do that? Can you walk through a wall? Well, if you can, without destroying the wall and causing great harm and hurt to your body, then you have been born again. But you see, that is a lie. Oh, those are harsh words. Well, did you realize that Jesus offended nearly every single one during his ministry? Oh, they loved to be healed, but did they obey him? Oh, they loved to hear his message, but did they understand it? Now what? Let's divide this down. First of all, Jesus had his work that he had to finish. And when you have something where you begin to believe, it's likened to this. You get on a bus. Bus driver says, everybody on? Everybody believe in Jesus? All your sins are forgiven? He starts up the engine, puts it in gear, and then turns it off and says,
all right, everybody out. We finished the journey. There's nothing else you have to do.
So the truth of the matter is, what is understood as Christianity in the world is so far removed from the Bible today that it's barely recognizable, except for some of the few scriptures that they use over and over and over again. They say, have faith and trust. But how can you have faith and trust? They say, believe. But how can you believe without having some kind of work? Well, that's because they misconstrue this. Let's come here to the book of John, chapter 4. Here's where Jesus talks about the work that he has to do. Let's see how he phrases it. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do. That means to practice, to accomplish, to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Now, what was the work that God the Father was doing? It was the whole work of Jesus Christ and what he did, and in preaching the gospel, and in calling the apostles, and preparing a base for his coming church. Now, let's come to John 17. Let's see something else. So, Jesus said he wanted to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. John 17, let's pick it up here in verse 4. I've glorified you on the earth. Now, this is Jesus' last prayer before he was arrested and led off for his trial, beating, scourging, and crucifixion. I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, what was that work? That was the preaching of the gospel, the calling of the apostles, having the word of God proclaimed, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, and completing and finishing the work as was prophesied down through all of the prophecies in the Bible. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Now, that's Jesus' work. Is Jesus' work your work? He still had something to do. because he had one more work to finish, which was the crucifixion day. And after his trials and his beating and scourging and being led off to be crucified and hanging there on the cross, and darkness covered the earth for 3 hours, the last words of Jesus was this, John 19 and verse 30. He said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he yielded up the spirit. So we have two things that Jesus finished. Number one, preaching of the gospel. Number two, the crucifixion. Then he had to be raised after 3 days and three nights in the tomb by the power of the Father. Now, let's come all the way to the book of Revelation. What is the finished work of Christ? Revelation 21 and verse 5. "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' Then he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done,'" or "it is finished." Now, what does that mean? He summarizes it right after that. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." So this tells us, goes clear back to the beginning, coming clear to the end, so he has finished the whole plan of God. So to take the statement and say, the work of Christ was finished at the cross, is a complete misunderstanding and misapplication of Scripture. And that's why Protestantism is in the throes of destruction right now. A lot of people don't think so. A lot of people think, boy, we're going to make more Christians and we're going to make this world better, and then Jesus is going to return because we've made the world better. Isn't going to happen. Because that's the work of Christ. Now, how come then, if you have the profession that we covered at first, how can that be the finished work of Christ in you? Well, it isn't. So we're going to examine what is necessary from this beginning for you to come to the completed work of Jesus Christ. And how is that going to be accomplished? Now be sure and write for our booklet or order it by email. Lord, what should I do? No book can be more important in your life than that book today, because you need to know what is happening in the world, what is happening in religion, what is happening in finance. You see, the whole world, everything involved in it, is far more than the foolishness that some ministers preach of these simple little verses, and nothing else in the Bible needs to be understood. And let me tell you something, if you think that that brings you salvation, you better ask yourself the question, have I been deceived? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.